As more and more people around the country move towards a grow-your-own, self-sustainable lifestyle, there's one business that simply can't keep up with demand. Mobile slaughtermen and butchers are doing a roaring trade, as Margot Foster discovered when she hit the road with one in Tasmania's Huon Valley. And a warning, if you find hearing animals killed disturbing, you might want to go and make a cup of tea for the next 5 minutes.
So these are the animals?
Yeah, there's three little steers.
They're all going to be done?
They're all going to be done.
Of course, this is the hard part, isn't it, Ron?
Indeed, yeah.
We're about to go down to the paddock and shoot the cattle. If we go down there with the vehicles, they get stirred up, but if we just walk down there, they usually just stand there and we just shoot them.
That's mobile slaughterman David Stevens, a former meat inspector and an abattoir owner who just over a year ago decided to take his business on the road. David now has some 3,000 customers and he's booked out 6 months in advance. David hangs Ron's steers inside his mobile cool room and we head to a neighbouring property in Crabtree where there are six pigs and a dozen ducks ready to be dispatched.
What makes the meat that is produced from a slaughter this way better than the product you'd buy in the supermarket?
Absolutely, 100% no stress. Look at these ducks here, I can just grab anyone. Yeah, there's just no stress because this is their home. Like those pigs over there, they've lived in that paddock all their life. If you try to move them into that yard, they wouldn't want to go in that yard, even though it's only a few feet away, because that's not their home.
And how does the stress affect the meat?
Oh, it toughens it up. Some animals handle stress better than others, but this way, there's just no stress whatsoever.
And so, as a consumer, am I able to look at a piece of meat and say, oh gosh, I won't choose that piece because it looks stressed? Is that possible?
Yes, you should be able to. You can see by the colour of it, but as soon as you put your finger on the meat, you can tell what it's like.
What do you mean? Explain a bit more.
Well, the meat is hard. Like, you poke your finger on there and it's just rock hard.
Okay.
Yeah, you can feel the resistance on it. You should be able to squeeze the meat in your finger, you should touch on each side. Yeah. Sheep is the one that you really notice with. You kill sheep in the paddock and they're just unbelievable. You can eat four tooth and you think you're eating two tooth. It's just so tender. And apples is the secret to growing good pigs. Apples seem to have a tendency to make it so moist. Like if you bag that meat up and just put it in the fridge, within half an hour there's just juice in the bag. It's just incredible, and it just eats so nice. It cooks so tender.
And now it's the piglet's turn.
My name is Michelle Gregory, and just over the hill in Craddock. This is our first time here with Dave, but Dave usually comes to our property to do our lambs. We've had him twice now, 2 years in a row, and very successful, so we're now following him around. We came down to Tasmania from Brisbane wanting the extra land so that we could do these things and also so the children could see how life works. It's an enjoyable experience having new lambs on the property being born. We've actually got some rare heritage breed turkeys as well, and we've been incubating them, so that's been fascinating. So a lot of it is our own enjoyment of seeing the animals on the property, and the sheep are a dual purpose. They're also mowing the grass for us, and I use, you know, the manure in the garden, so we're getting a lot out of them. And then yes, but we're keeping some of the lambs are kept for breeding and others for our own meat. But I think now that we have started the process, I do like that I know where the meat has come from. But what we've found is the flavour and the tenderness, that's what you can't get anymore.
Is it something that you would care to show the children?
I would. No, they've seen the lambs done, and it's actually, that's one thing I've learnt from Dave and Todd. It's an unbelievably clean process. I was really surprised when we did our first lambs last year. I'm fine with the kids seeing this, as long as they want to. I'm not going to force them. When we first started this with our sheep, we did have a concern that maybe they'd seen our lambs being born, and so I was worried they might think of them as pets. But they haven't. They have actually disassociated the household pets from the farm animals, and they handled a lot better than I thought they would.
So you're fine with it, Lauren?
Yeah, I don't.
You don't mind eating the meat afterwards?
No, it's yummy.
There's kilos and kilos of meat going into the freezer. Does it have a big impact on your budget?
I think it probably does. We struggled to get through all the lamb that we had last year, but we're probably certainly living well beyond our budget would allow ordinarily. We eat a lot more roast lamb than we probably should, but it's lovely.
So your experience as a meat inspector, does that give people a lot more confidence in what you're doing?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, definitely. Because I can tell what's the matter with an animal when I look at it.
And what are you looking for? Are you looking for an ill animal or anything like that?
Oh, you're looking like at the lymph nodes, if the lymph nodes are swollen, or looking for cancerous things in the animal. You're looking for spots in the livers and all those sort of things. You don't want people eating livers with spots in, because, well, you could get sick, couldn't you?
This one's ready for the cool room.
Yeah, just weigh it so she roughly knows what she's got. And
you're happy?
Yeah, very.
I've come back to Crabtree to catch up with Dave Stevens. 3 days ago, he slaughtered 3 cattle, 6 pigs and a handful of ducks for some local landholders nearby. Now he's back again and he's going to butcher 6 pigs, so I want to see how he does it. So this time you've actually got a little butcher shop.
Yes, it's a mobile boning room. We have the working bench on one side with a meat mincer at the end of it.
Yeah.
And then on the other side we have a bandsaw. We also bring a pickling pump with us so we can, you know, corn meat if they want corn meat. And we have a sausage filler.
Really?
Yeah. Which
so
we,
you can do sausages as well?
Yeah, we make sausages. We can come here and we process the meat for these people, but they cannot on-sell it. They can't take it to a market or anything like that because it has to be stamped, and we don't have a stamp.
You go to a lot of trouble to make sure that what you're doing is a safe product.
Yes.
How is it regulated?
It's not. You could go to someone's place and slaughter their animals as long as you leave it on the property. There's no regulation. It's just lucky that I'm a meat inspector and Toddy's a butcher.
Now, what kind of regulation would you like to see to make this kind of service more widely available?
Well, if it could be regulated, we could stamp it, we could have the paperwork with it, so it can be checked. Then the person could sell the meat on, and if there's something wrong with it, it can be traced back. But there's no way of tracing this back. There's no paperwork. I would like to see it so that people can buy more stress-free meat if they want to. I would like to see the lady that owns this place be able to sell her meat on if she wants to, because there's such a market for it.
Well, it's fantastic. I better let you get back to it because
yeah, thank you, Margaret.
Todd's going to have to get the bandsaw going again.
Yes.
I've shared many meals with my friend Noel Tennant. He's an experienced chef who's worked at Australian Antarctic stations and on cruise ships. When I find a special ingredient, we usually get together for a cook-up.
Now, what are you preparing, Noel?
Well, today, Margot, we've got some beautiful, tender, locally grown pork. So I'm just going to treat it very gently. It doesn't need too much cooking, so I'm going to poach it. But I've basically just made a stock here, which is water, an onion, some garlic, a couple of slices of ginger, some star anise, cloves, a little dash of fish sauce and a dash of soy. We'll just do it very gently, so the stock won't be boiling. It's probably sitting at about 90 degrees. It'll cook it very evenly because it's cooking from all sides at the same time, so the meat is immersed in the stock, and so it doesn't take very long to cook. So normally I wouldn't think of poaching pork, but because it's very tender, it really doesn't require long, slow cooking.
Is it possible to actually get meat like this at a supermarket?
I don't believe so, because the way these animals are raised, it's a low-volume method of raising stock, and you would need enormous amounts of land. These are happy pigs. They've been running around paddocks and rooting around in mud and eating grass and whatever they can find, as well as being supplemented with fresh fruit, which was grown possibly on the same property or at the property next door. And I think you just can't do that on a commercial scale, and it really shows in the finished product. So, noodles into the bowl, stock on top, finished off with our gently poached pork, Vietnamese mint, some of our coriander flowers, and very, very delicate. They look beautiful.
Smells fantastic.
It does.
So that pretty little carrot that you got,
just in a fine julienne. I like to put it on raw, so it just keeps that gorgeous crunch from the carrot. And some fried shallots.
And to cap it off?
Just a few drops of sesame oil on top. There we go. Fantastic.
So, taste test. Mmm. It's fantastic. I can't believe that that pork cooked in about a minute.
That's all it needs. So, again, if you've got a gorgeous, tender product like that, we're not trying to artificially put flavour into the pork because...
No, it doesn't need it.
Mm. No, we're just bringing out the flavours that are already there.
Mm. No, that works really well. Mm. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Margot Foster there with Tasmanian chef Noel Tennant. You're listening to RN First Bite. I'm Anita Barrow.